everybody. Welcome back to Negro Please Radio. I'm your host, Chris Allen. How's everybody doing? Glad to be back. As usual, off the top, I want to take the time out to thank each and every last one of you for downloading, tuning in, streaming, and now watching on my YouTube page. What's up, everybody? Oh, man, it's a nice Friday afternoon, and we're back for another episode. Before we go into it, as always, I want to ask everybody to tell a friend, enemy, coworker, tell somebody about my podcast. I don't care if you think they'll hate it. Go, hey, check this dude out. He'll really get under your skin. Maybe you'll share it even more. I don't give a shit. Just tell somebody about the podcast. I'm already seeing a nice uptick in listens. So I appreciate that and continue to do so. If you're new, welcome. And let's just get started. All right. I'll start with my milestone as I usually do. For those that don't know, we have a 7-year-old son. His name is Miles, and I like to talk about the different things that he's going through. Sometimes it's big, sometimes it's small, sometimes it's nothing. Recently, I've been talking a lot about him and him dealing with his ADHD. My wife bought him a workbook a while ago. It's really been helping out. It's got some great exercises and activities that he can work on. And I have noticed over the last few weeks, a couple of weeks, he's been recognizing his triggers and he's been like stepping away from things that cause him frustration and that could possibly cause him to have a meltdown. And I like to see that. I'm very proud of him. I mentioned that before. But recently we had a little bit of a stumble. He's had a couple of meltdowns, but I know it has a lot to do with the quarantine and him being, you know, just isolated from so many other kids and his family. He's expressed that, saying he feels like he's alone and he doesn't have any brothers and sisters. So we might have to take a quick trip up to New York so we can just be around family. I know it's probably not the best time, but we'll have to be safe, because it's really getting to him. And for a 7-year-old, I think he's been doing very well for a 7-year-old to deal with this life interruption that we're all going through. But he definitely needs a break. And man, it's been rough. I'm still proud of him. We've talked about the meltdowns. He realizes why he's had them, and we're working through it with him. And he's doing better. But we had a little bit of a stumble or a step back, if you will. But I told him that's the process. You know, you get better. Sometimes you take a step back, but we can't let it hinder our progress. We recognize it and try not to let it happen again. And he's been doing very, very well with that. And we'll see how he does over the next couple of weeks. So that's the milestone. It's some minor setbacks, but overall, he's still doing well, and I'm very, very proud of my little boy, man. So if any other parents are out there dealing with ADHD, I'm sorry. And if you ever want to talk about it, hit me up on my email or Facebook or whatever it is. Just hit me up. If you got anything you want to share, any techniques or stories, let me know. My wife and I are very open to some help and suggestions and just hearing what other people's experiences are, especially during this weird time. But, all right, so, man, I know I've been heavy on the politics lately, and I guess I'll still talk about it as things continue to bother me. Like, take this Kamala Harris VP thing, right? I see a lot of people. Oh, is she really black? She not black enough. She's really this. Her parents came from descendants of people who owned slaves. It's just like any other time you talk about that, the right's like, oh, we living in the past. Who cares about slavery? But when it's convenient for them, they want to try to bring it up. And then you want to question people's blackness. I mean, really? You're doing that already? Because a few weeks ago, when Biden made his statement to Charlemagne the God saying, hey, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. People on the right were so disgusted. They were so appalled. How dare you question somebody's blackness? And here we are just a few weeks later. This woman is selected or to run as the Democratic VP. And now all of a sudden you're questioning her blackness, right? And you got Silk and Diamond questioning their blackness. And what's funny about the Silk and Diamond situation is I see so many people on comments whenever there's an interview with an athlete or some mic'd up athlete, they want to talk about their vernacular, how they're not pronouncing their words. How did this guy go to Duke and he talks like that? He sounds bad. They need to get, you know, some type of speech therapist, or they need to talk to a publicist about how they talk. They sound like they from the ghetto. They sound this, that, and the third. But you happen to overlook it when it's Silk and Diamond. And then, because I've seen a lot of people talk shit about how they talk on their posts. And those same people will go, oh, look how black people are. You know, just because they speak this way doesn't mean that they're dumb. You know, country people talk this way. You guys can't get along. All you do is shit on each other. And here you are promoting these two other black women that are talking shit about this woman's and questioning this woman's blackness. You will question other people's blackness or their level of education or their level of intelligence based on how they speak, because you don't think that they agree with you politically. But then you have Silk and Diamond, who are, let's be honest, ghetto as fuck, but you let it slide because they like your guy. I think it's bullshit. It's not really fair. I see where you're coming from, but you also have to see the hypocrisy, the double standard, and basically being a piece of shit, if I'm being quite honest. Now, Silk and Diamond are entitled to their own opinions. I'm completely fine with that. But I just think it's funny that you really pick and choose when you want to make fun of or bring up the fact that someone doesn't speak proper English. I don't know. But so I've been enjoying quite a bit of the NBA playoffs in the bubble. They really nailed it. And to be honest, I haven't watched a lot of basketball in the last 10 years, but really not a whole lot in the last, I would say 8 has been like heavy, no basketball. But me not watching as much probably started about 10 years ago. But I'm finally back in. It is weird jumping in so late, because now I'm seeing guys that 8 to 10 years ago were still like new guys, rookies in some cases, or young guys in the league still trying to figure it out. They didn't have the green light yet. Now I'm seeing these guys taking, you know, one-legged off-balance shots. And I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? Why is this guy even shooting right now? And I got to remember, like, hey, dude, this guy's had almost a decade of experience, and now they're like a seasoned veteran who can shoot the ball whenever they want. They've acquired a shit ton of skills that you have not even seen them work on in the, almost the last decade. So it's fun seeing the development of a lot of players, like the Markeith. I can't think of their last name. The Twins, those guys couldn't shoot or shit when I first started watching when they first came into the league. Now, I mean, Markeith is a three-point specialist. He can put the ball on the floor. The dude's a baller, man. It's really cool to see how much the game has changed, too. Because, again, like I said, I've been out of it for so long. And to see the European influence in the game, how it's opened up, how you're seeing a lot of the bigs with ball handling skills, they're shooting threes, they're better passers. I really enjoy it. And I have a lot of friends who are my age or a little bit younger, how they say they don't play defense anymore. This sucks. But when you think about it, some of those games back in the 90s, although I love that era, we were watching games, they were scoring in the 70s. We're talking pros here. Was it really great defense or just bad offense at time? I don't know. Maybe some people, I'm pretty sure a lot of people will say it was just great defense. It was a different game. It's just people really stuck to their positions. There was a lot more down low banging, not a lot of three-point shooting like you see today. It's pretty wild, man. And, the range on these players is ridiculous. Watching Damian Lillard pull up from the logo down there half court, and it's not even like he's trying to shoot the ball that far. I mean, just smooth, no different than their free throw looking jump shots. And my thing is, what are we going to do when you have a bunch of dudes that are shooting from half court and then it gets to the point where motherfuckers can shoot from beyond half court? Are we going to extend the court some? What's going to happen? I mean, the range is insane. Insane. These shots that these guys are shooting have historically been terrible shots that would have gotten anyone at any level yanked out of a game immediately. But now it's just the norm, and I'm really enjoying it. It's a lot of fun. I actually watched the lottery last night too. And look, I don't know much about the league anymore, but just the excitement I got from watching the commissioner open those envelopes, I was just like, man, who's going to get – I don't even know who's coming up in the league, but I'm such a fan. I know how exciting that is. And just watching the teams go, oh, okay, this is where we are, seeing people kind of upset. You can see the wheels turning. Are we going to keep this pick? It's just exciting. And I got to be honest, I'm happy to be back watching the NBA. And seeing Carmelo out there still is dope. And there's part of me as an older dude that wants him to beat LeBron. I feel like he's playing for the older guys, people who represent my demographic. Seeing them go one-on-one really reminds me of my early 20s and the league that I really embraced as a young man. You know, you had Kobe in there. You had Iverson, Carmelo, Shaq was in his prime. Dude, that was my time. You had the Sacramento Kings team that was great with Bibby and Chris Webber and like all these guys now that I grew up watching are either commentators or a coach. And it's weird being the old guy watching all these young dudes who you don't know play. But I'm very excited. I love watching Ja Morant play. I think he's very exciting. Luka Doncic, I believe that he will become the face of the league. Like right now, I feel like the torch is kind of being handed to Giannis. As LeBron is getting ready to retire here in the next few years, I feel like Giannis is the guy. But I think over his transition years, Ja Morant and Luka are going to get way better. And it's going to be exciting to see what kind of competition as far as MVP or marquee player for the league, what kind of race that's going to be. So I'm excited. I feel like I'm catching basketball at the start of a new era, and I'm all in again. And I'm going to make this official now. Not that anyone cares, but I think from this point on, I'm going to be following the Brooklyn Nets. I was always a huge Jacque Vaughn fan in college. I know he wasn't the greatest NBA player, but I always liked his work ethic. I loved how he played the game, how he approached the game. And I think he's going to be an excellent coach. He was an excellent point guard. Again, not the greatest pro player, but he was serviceable. And I think that his style of play will translate to him being a great coach. And the Brooklyn Nets have some great young players, and they have some great all-stars. And they're not great. So I think that it's a fair team to like, even though I know Durant is hella dope and Kyrie. But as a team, I think they still have a long way to go. So I don't feel like I'm jumping on the bandwagon, so to speak. So from here on out, I think I'm going to consider myself a Brooklyn Nets fan. So there you go. I'm going to be following the Nets. I think LeVert is dope. And look at me. I'm smiling, man. I'm fucking excited about the NBA again. So, yeah. Oh, to pull back the curtain, this is like my third time recording this. I got it down the second time. I did a great job. I loved it. I grabbed the camera and I realized it wasn't recording. So I'm back. And then I tried to do it again and I fucked up and I tried it again and I fucked up. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to take a break. So now I'm back. I'm 15 minutes in and I'm feeling pretty goddamn good about this thing. But yeah, I know you're like, goddamn, more basketball. I'm sorry, man. I was away from it for so long and I loved it for so long The bubble has brought me back. It really has. And what I like about the bubble, there's no other outside influences. It's just the game. It's just the game. You don't have any audience or crowd to get you hyped up. If it's an away game, you don't have that crowd or audience to get you hyped. If it's a home game, you have to be a self-starter, because there's a lot of guys in the league and in sports that really like to hear the opposition talk shit about them. They love to get into it with the fans that gets them fired up. But with none of that, I like the fact that it's like, hey, you just got to play ball. That thing that you usually use to motivate you, to get your blood going, to give you that fire, to light that fire, it's not there. You have to learn to do it yourself. You know what I'm saying? I think that's a huge factor. It's a huge factor. For a minute, I tried to tell myself, like, oh, you know, the crowd doesn't really matter. People, the guys are still hyped. They're yelling. They're high-fiving. They're screaming after dunks. It's still intense. But that crowd missing is huge. You don't have that, that other little psychological advantage or catalyst. That's the word I'm looking for. Catalyst, if you're one of those guys, you got to find it within yourself to dig down deep when somebody is really D'ing you up, or they're taking you to the rack and you can't even like look around and get mad. You know, because I know as a comic, if I feel like I'm not confident, I'm like, can I find somebody who's in a weird looking relationship, or a guy has on a weird shirt? Nope, none of that shit. You have to dig within yourself. And to be honest, that's really hard to do if you're kind of having a brain fart, or you just don't know what to do next, or you're looking for something to get you pumped up and there's nothing there. All you have is you. And I think that's going to make this a pretty tough championship to win. Will there be an asterisk next to this championship? Possibly. But I don't think anyone could really discount it. I think they did a great job at picking the teams who would have possibly made it. The seeding rounds I felt were fair. And with these seven-game series, I always feel like the better team wins. So, you know, of course it was a shorter season. The circumstances were odd, but I don't think the quality of the gameplay should bring about any questions as to did this team really deserve to win, or in 2020 did the best team win. I think it's still a valid championship, but I'm excited. I'm sorry this is super heavy on basketball. I'm trying to bring down my level of anger and frustration down by getting into other things. So if you came to my podcast because I was ranting politically all the time, that's not what I always do. It's just, it's been a weird 5.5 months and there's been a lot on my mind. So I'm all over the place. So I'll talk about being on the road, hanging out with other comics, you know, shit like that. Stuff I see in the news that's weird. It's not always racial or political stuff, but I'm excited. It's nice to get one of your old hobbies back. I think I was getting a little too focused on work and not spending enough time doing things that I actually enjoyed, and basketball was one of them. And I'm glad to be back. And there was something else, too, that I wanted to bring up. Oh, speaking of getting back out there, last week or 2 weeks ago, I did a show, my first live show in Gaithersburg, Maryland. Shout out to my man Martin Amini for putting it on. It was supposed to be in D.C., but at the last minute that Friday, 5 o'clock, they got a letter from the email, sorry, from the mayor's office saying that if they continue to do the show, they will be fine and the venue will be closed down or something. So they decided not to do it at the venue indoors, and they took it to Martin's dad's house where they did shows before, and it was so much fun. I saw a lot of my buddies I haven't seen since before quarantine, and I was super nervous. I was super scared. I was up there shaking. It felt like the first time again. I messed up a few jokes. I stumbled over some words, but I still had so much fun. And to be honest, before the show, I was thinking like, can I still do this, or do I want to do this? Will comedy be the same? And I got up there, and it was fine. Once the jitters were out, once I the butterflies were gone, I was able to get back in there and I tried some new stuff and it didn't work all the time. Well, every time, well, both times, sorry, there were two shows, they didn't work both times. But it was just, it's fun. It's, I forgot how much fun it is to go out there. And even to have a joke fail can be fun, man. Just recognizing that a joke is complete shit and have it bomb and people laugh at that. I forgot about how much fun I have connecting with the crowd, talking and exploring. And I just had a great time. And I miss comedy. And I'm glad that I got to do it. And I think I'm done questioning myself about comedy and how I feel about it. So, and I have two shows this weekend here in town, one in Keswick, one here in town. And should I be doing 30 minutes this quick? Probably not, but there's no better way to get your feet wet than jumping it all in and figuring it out with the crowd. So I'm looking forward to it, even though deep down inside I'm terrified that I might not be good. But I'm looking forward to grabbing that microphone and looking out at all those faces and getting to laugh. But there's a show. That's a show. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Chris Allen Comedy, ALAN. I'm out. Peace.